And now, Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN Radio.
When I pop the trunk, hit the deck.
Y'all pop the trunk, I pop the hood.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your ba-boom, ba-boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic. And we're putting it on.
Oh,
wax.
My God.
It's the new Jalen style.
Like,
I'm not singing anymore.
We joked about this for a while.
What?
Okay, like we joked about the intro and how we messed it up. And there's a while where I thought both you and Reg were messing it up on purpose. But that is just Reggie just making a mistake. You know what I mean? We got to clean things up around here. And one thing about you not singing, okay? When I mentioned that I had rethought, perhaps we should rethink the intro, maybe be a little bit more professional, a little more sold out, a little more buttoned up. I thought about that. You've been threatening not to sing for 4 years, and you act like singing is taking like a month off of your life. You know what I mean? You're always like, I got to save my voice, bro. Like,
it is.
Like you're Selena on tour or something. Like come on, man. All you have to do is do a half a bar. Once a day, five days a week.
Hey, Michael Buffer, I bet Michael Buffer has insurance for his voice before he continues to say, let's get ready
to rumble. Go get insurance then. I'm not saying you can't get insurance. I'm saying you got to sing. That's part of the gig. Give the people what they want. And then halftime, you go, I want to support the people that have supported this program, whether for 6 years, whether on podcast and radio or on television. You do that version. Everybody's listening. Everybody listening to the pod knows that version of it. Why do you do this to the people? Do you know what the people want? The people want you to sing. The people want you to get the open right. He is Jalen Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we're putting it on wax. It's the new style.
Just play the voicemail, Reg. Just play the voicemail. Just play the first voicemail. I can't do this. Just play the voicemail.
Hi, Jalen and Jacoby. This is Shatara. I'm from Mississippi. And I just want to let you guys know I love the show. And anyway, to my question, this is for Jacoby. This weekend, your robot side chick Sophia said that she wants a baby. We know you like tea. We like tea, too. So spill the tea, Jacoby. What's really going on? Jalen, I want to hear your thoughts on this as well. Y'all keep giving the people what they want. Keep getting them texts. And shout out to those Braves.
Shout out to Shatara. Shout out to Mississippi. Love Mississippi.
No doubt.
I want to say this. You know what? I'm attracted to a robot, and that's just the honest. The honest truth is I'm attracted to Sophia the robot. I find her attractive. There's a twerking robot over the weekend. That I don't know if you saw that. If you're on the internet, you saw that one. I think that these robots, I can only follow my heart, and I'm physically attracted to these robots. And Sophia, it's a personality. I think it's also an emotional connection there. However, she said she wanted a baby, you know? And then what happened is she was like, oh, no, I can't have two babies at once. That's too much. I can't mess with that Jacoby guy. That's what she texted. I DM'd her. I DM'd Sophia, and she's like, oh, you're the guy with twins, right? Nope, too fertile. I can't rock with you. Can't do it.
I'm not going to get too much into the personal business, but I will say this.
Personal business? It's Sophia. She's a robot.
Since we're going to be dark Wednesday until top of next week, why don't you go on vacation with your robot?
No,
how about that?
I'd much rather go on vacation with my beautiful wife, mother of my children.
Shout out.
Best friend in my life. Significant other for 15 years. I'm going to stay with her. Is it cheating if it's
there
a robot, though?
Go.
That's all I have to say. Is it cheating if it's a robot? We'll be asked to ask these questions in a decade. Sophia's just, she's just version one. She's just version one. Wait till Halle Berry shows up, and all of a sudden you got to plug her in for 8 hours every night. Coming up next, we have this from Eurostep P.
Shout out.
It's from Twitter. Is eating in the elevator okay? Shout out to Reg and Barron.
Shout out.
All I know is this. We talked on this program about how Jada has bars. Friday on Elm Street with him and Fab is crazy. Pull out your phone right now and make sure you give him a shout and or support the project. And a while ago, you used a phrase that you were like, I know for a fact Kiss would say something like this. This person who's tweeting a question reminded me of something that he says on the album. He said, the Eurostep, the German Ruger, only Kiss can drop bars like that. And to me, that was way more important than the question. That's all I heard.
Yeah, the question is eating in the elevator okay? And I'm going to say no, because elevator rides aren't like subway rides or train rides or car rides. Like, elevator rides are 20 seconds. If you're that hungry, you can just hold it. Just hold it together while you're in the elevator. And keep that Ziploc bag zipped up. I mean, the top plastic bag with your food in it, so you don't funk up the elevator with your grilled chicken or whatever.
Next. I say eat whatever you want, whenever you want.
This is from one of our staff members. There's an inter-staff debate here going on between Barkus and Reggie. Is jaywalking a soft move or a boss move?
Boss move.
I wholeheartedly support jaywalking in all forms. I support jaywalking in all forms. Generally, I'm a very law-abiding citizen. But if there's no imminent danger, there's no cars around, no one has to hit their brakes, no one even has to recognize that I'm there, and this is truly a victimless crime. And if you're going to give me a ticket for that, that's just a ticket against efficiency. And I always support efficiency.
Agreed. No doubt about it. Walk all the way to the corner another 10 minutes, then wait for the light 5 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
Then cross the street when I could just cross right here, right now, in 5 seconds, all day.
Oh, this is great from DJ. Jalen, take us behind the curtain. When athletes retire and go into sports media, do they go through a normal job application interview process, or is it just like, hey there, Jalen Rose, welcome to the team?
It all depends on who you are and what you know.
That's a
good
point. If
you're a Hall of Famer, you can kind of do that.
You just got to show up. They're just like, oh, we got who?
For everybody else, they got to check your chops first.
They do.
You got to do some reps.
Yeah, do some practice repetitions, and then you got to do some low-key games.
No doubt about it.
You know,
absolutely.
Do some digital stuff first, and then make sure you're okay.
But if you're a Hall of Famer, you can just show up.
Oh, yeah. Kobe Bryant, you can do whatever you want. Don't worry about it. Music cage, cool. Let's rock. I'm down. Let's listen to the next voicemail.
Let me clear my throat. DJ Cool. My name is Dylan Roos. I'm from Denver, Colorado. I'm 13, but my mind is older. Shout out to Mobb Deep.
Shout out.
And I was just wondering, Jalen, why have you not seen Star Wars yet? It's not cultural. There is a kid in my school named Dion, and he is of Jalen's complexion, and he has seen Star Wars. And also, you guys were wondering what a salad is with Thanksgiving. Salad is not what you think in the West. It's more of like a pudding kind of thing. So I know you guys don't like extra research, but look up pretzel salad. That'll really get you a good idea. But also for our salad this year for Thanksgiving, we had like a clementine pudding. And I don't know why they call it a salad, but they do. And it's very good, and it is not whack. Anyways, keep getting them checks. Hopefully I get on the pod.
I just did some research for the first time in like 3 years.
What?
I just Googled clementine pudding. What? It looks kind of like cornbread, but with like ginger.
Oh, my darling.
I mean, with cornbread, but with orange.
Clementine.
And I'm more of a Led Zeppelin clementine guy, but I understand where you're going there. And then we also have a pretzel salad, which I've also have someone on the staff, shout out to Baron, has looked up.
Shout out.
And it doesn't look like a normal salad, but I do appreciate Dylan just trying to open our eyes to new experiences. You know, even though he is young, his mind is old.
Shout out.
Pretzel salad looks like strawberry shortcake. So I don't know why these are called salads. But Dylan's first question is real. Jalen, Star Wars is a universally loved franchise that's been accepted by the species as a seminal artistic endeavor for everybody. It's not cultural, not even close to cultural.
Nope.
So why don't you just sit back and say, you know what? Billions of other people love this. They've started religions off of this. There's conventions off of this. The people just base relationships and communities solely based on their mutual appreciation of this movie trilogy. Why don't you just sit back and give it a try one time when you're on a flight?
I have a franchise that not only I watch religiously and support, that I would encourage others, that's better than Star Wars.
You've never seen Star Wars, and Dylan didn't ask for your suggestions.
No.
I'll take the Friday franchise over it.
What?
I did see Friday 2 recently.
What?
It was pretty good. But, I don't think, how do I say this? I don't think over time Friday will be celebrated the same way. I don't think Friday's going to hold up over time. I think that's very much of a, Friday was the right movie for that era.
It's already holding up.
Star Wars came out in 1974, I want to say, 1978.
Yeah.
We're 40 years later. I don't think we'll be talking about Friday in 2036. I mean, me and you will because we're old and washed, but I don't think the species as a whole will be treating Friday with the same respect that it does Star Wars. But shout out to Dylan being 13 with his old mind listening to Jalen Jacoby every day.
Shout out. That was a dope quote. Way to rep the mob. Yeah.
Next question is from Tyler on Twitter. Can Jalen ice skate and is it cultural?
Ice skating is definitely cultural.
Yeah.
You haven't seen any individuals consistently that look like me on ice skates.
No.
With that being said, I am going to try it.
What?
Right in downtown LA.
What?
Each year, I see the ice rink set up right by work. And I look out the window and I told Michelle Beadle, if you do it, I'll do it too.
Oh, see, I had an idea if we were going to set up an obstacle course, me and you would race. Because I can't ice skate either. But I think we should have a race.
Yeah.
The reason why I bring this up is because now you have to be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've never I've skated like four times in my life.
And you know what? It's important for me because I saw LZ Granderson, my Detroit homeboy, doing it last year.
Shout out.
But I got to make sure I have a couple of my white friends on each side to hold me up in case I don't hurt myself.
See, I want to do an obstacle course race for the show. Where you and I have to like go through tunnels and do this and that.
How are we going to race when I can't skate?
I can't skate either. That's what makes it good. I can't skate.
You have a better chance of playing derby with me on roller skates.
I don't even know what playing derby is. And I can't really roller skate either.
That's when you roll it. That's roll as fast as you can and you either stop or fall.
Oh, okay. All right. I used to watch a lot of, what was it called? Roller skate derby, roller derby. I used to watch a lot of roller derby coming up. You ever watch that?
Yeah.
You're about the right age.
Yeah.
Where there's that one person that's the jammer, and they get the special color helmet. They got to pass the other people who are the blockers. I used to really enjoy that. It was kind of
big
like,
shout in Detroit to Northland Skating Rink, Will Skating Rink. Man, I miss those days.
Well,
classic fun.
Well, from Western Massachusetts, we had Interstate 91, which you could take to a certain exit, which would take you to Interskate 91.
Oh, so cute.
Oh, yo, big shout to Roller Derby in Detroit. But then once we're in Western Massachusetts, it's cute, right? That's what happens? I see how it goes. You've never been to Interskate 91. You don't know about how real it is at Interskate 91. Man, that bummed me out. Now I'm sad. You hurt my feelings. Let's get the people what they want.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Jalen Rose, I know that you wanted the Lions to win, but they lost to the Ravens. And right
after
handing
like that, huh?
the Lions an L, Joe Flacco went ahead and ate the W. Care of Jameis Winston, he went to the press conference and ate the W after handing the Lions an L. How disrespectful was that from Mr. Flacco?
First and foremost, that's trifling, regardless of who's doing it, whether it's Jameis or Flacco. The next thing I want to say, it's more of a shot at Jameis than it is at us.
Okay. Because he was done taking shots of you on the football field. Let's move on to some football that actually matters.
But I got one noise I need to make after that game. Meow.
Well, season doesn't look great for the Lions, but it has been looking up for the Vikings, who held the Falcons to 275 yards of total offense and zero touchdowns in Atlanta. It was a very impressive win on Saturday, only to potentially be topped on Sunday night, where the Seahawks hosted what everybody thought was the best team in football, the Eagles. And the Seahawks looked good on defense. Russell Wilson looked great on offense. Which team impressed you more from Sunday, the Vikings or the Seahawks?
Individually, I have to point out the fact the way Rhodes blanketed Julio Jones, that was individually the most impressive thing on the defensive side of the ball, and that says a lot because I'm going to have to choose Seattle. Russell Wilson was outstanding. For those who haven't been paying attention, he's an elite quarterback, so when everybody start this conversation about who's the tops in the game, please put his name in the conversation. He's had a patchwork running game, the same with his offensive line. Now him and Jimmy Graham have found their time, and he's caught 9 touchdowns in 8 games. Doug Baldwin has always been terrific as a weapon and as somebody that can break a football game open. But the way he's able to make plays is just totally dynamic. He lifted that football team offensively. And on the defensive side, their front seven is as stout as it gets in a game, and they're playing without a few guys that are injured in the Legion of Boom, and particularly Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor.
Anybody that watched that game or seen the Seahawks lately knows Bobby Wagner is such a force on defense. He anchors that defense. But let me flip it to the Vikings a little bit. I am so ready just to say the Vikings will not compete, they will not contend, they will not be a Super Bowl appearance because they are quarterbacked by Case Keenum and, at best, a rehabbed Teddy Bridgewater. But Case Keenum has had over 100 QBR in 4 straight games. His total QBR for the season, this is going to blow your mind, is higher than both Carson Wentz and Tom Brady. Now, we all know QBR is not a perfect stat, but he's also passing the eye test. It almost looks like, yes, Case Keenum, I can't believe I'm saying this, and a great defense could bring the Vikings into the Super Bowl, which is in Minneapolis this year. I can't believe I just said that into a microphone. I'll regret that. Here's something that somebody is definitely going to regret. The Patriots went into Western New York, into Buffalo to play the Bills. There's all this talk about Rob Gronkowski and going through tables and him in his hometown. The Patriots were blowing out the Bills. They were up by 20 with less than 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Tom Brady just sort of lofts up this pass in Gronk's general direction. There's a little contact before the interception, and it is then intercepted by Tre'Davious White. After White has been touched down and he's clearly out of bounds, Gronkowski gives him like a flying forearm to the back of the helmet. He's been suspended 1 game. Jalen, this was a pretty grotesque play to watch. And after watching this, and after watching the fight last week between Crabtree and Tlaib, I have to ask, do these acts of violence outside of the rules of the game, do you think they impact the NFL's popularity amongst fans?
I don't think it affects this popularity. I think it affects the fact that parents won't necessarily want their kids to participate. When you already have inherent violence in the sport, whether it's boxing or MMA or the NFL in this case, or even collegiate football, you already have physical collisions that are a part of the sport. When you go over and above that, those are the things that create a black eye type of scenario. But I will say this, as someone that doesn't encourage anyone to fight no violence in any way, shape, or form, I'm disappointed in the Buffalo Bills defense. You mean to tell me your player can get an interception, is laying on the ground, Rob Gronkowski does a hesitation two-step wrestling move, does a flying elbow on the top of his head, gives him a concussion, and all y'all do is stand around and watch? This should have been the exact same thing we saw Denver versus Oakland. They should still be pulling people helmets off and pulling bodies off of the ground. And I'm disappointed in the act by Gronk, because obviously we all have temporary lapses of judgment, and this was that for him. But he did something, an apology that I always pay attention to.
What's that?
When people do this, because I'm not really a fan of.
Ooh, what's that, Mr. Rose?
When they make it about them, when they make it about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Initially, he started to apologize. He was remorseful. And then it was like, well, he was holding me.
I wasn't getting calls.
He was calling stuff
on me. Yeah, the four plays before that.
And before you know it, no doubt, at the end of that statement, he was the victim. While there's another gentleman in concussion protocol. He deserved a one-game suspension. I think he should have gotten two. He doesn't have a history of this type of behavior. Maybe being back home in Buffalo, and as you talked about the tailgaters, jumping off tables like wrestlers, having beverages, maybe he was channeling that a little too much on the football field.
And one thing about that is there are reports that he could potentially appeal the suspension, which is another thing you have to look at. Like, you're going to go there and say that you apologize and you don't stand for that type of play. And this is not Deflategate. This is very clearly an egregious, violent act that had serious, you know, health repercussions on Tre'Davious White. You concussed a man after the play when he was clearly out of bounds and down. It was violent. It was egregious. There's absolutely no way to appeal a one-game suspension if that is, in fact, what Gronkowski is planning on doing.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Jalen, not everything is worth talking about in the world of sports and pop culture, so we have a segment called Keep It Moving. I'll name the headline if it is worth talking about. You'll tell me to hit the brakes, and if it's not, we will keep it moving.
Keep it moving, you know we keep it moving.
You'll never believe this. Ben McAdoo was fired as the Giants head coach. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving. Tom Coughlin was the fall guy, now Ben McAdoo's the fall guy. Jerry Reese, the GM, is next.
Next, the Lakers have a new media policy that some are calling the LeVar Ball rule. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Well, apparently where the friends and family sit for the Lakers, after the game, they all congregate in this one section of the arena, especially at home games. And sometimes media members have been congregating there as well, potentially asking questions to the people that are there. The media members are no longer allowed to be in that area. This also just so happens to be the area where LeVar Ball sometimes gives quotes, not always nice about the Lakers front office and coaches. Jalen, what do you think about the LeVar Ball rule?
I like the LeVar Ball rule for everybody else because at this point, he's become a celebrity in his own right. He can do interviews outside of Staples. He can do interviews on the court. So I don't think if he decides to talk to the members of the media, this will impede his progress.
Yeah, I don't think we'll hear less from LeVar Ball now. Let's just say that. Somebody tells me less LeVar Ball is not what the future holds for NBA fans. Next, Derrick Rose has returned to the Cavaliers. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Derrick Rose, if you're not familiar with the story, he sprained an ankle. You know, he's often injured. And he has decided that he's going to take a little time away from the team to reevaluate things in life. And he has decided to come back to the team. Ty Lue and LeBron James are both very supportive of Derrick Rose. What do you think about Rose's return?
Along with the injuries that he's encountered over his career, being the youngest MVP in the history of the NBA, psychologically, it seemed to have taken an emotional toll on him. If you've ever played the game Operation, that's basically what his body has resembled. Multiple injuries to different parts of his body. And that will take a toll, constantly trying to rehab, hoping to get back to the level you were at, playing now on the championship contending team. We've seen this the last couple of seasons, where he needed time during the year to escape his professional duties to deal with his personal ones. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays out. But being around your team sometimes becomes a sanctuary. I hope he can find that happiness and that and that solace that he's looking for.
I think he just saw the Cavs on win streak and was like, that looks like fun. You know what? That looks like a lot more fun than the team that I left. Let me get back in there and get some of those Dwayne Wade points. Next, Patrick Ewing is reportedly a gigantic germaphobe. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Since I stole his TV, hit the brakes.
Well, Patrick Ewing has this thing where when he was playing in the league, he needed freshly poured water into cups so the cups wouldn't sit out on a tray and gather. And he was also keenly aware of teammates that didn't wash their hands after using the bathroom, no matter how many rooms away they were. We're learning all this from former Knicks trainer Timmy Walsh. Jalen Rose, are you surprised that Patrick Ewing was such a weird germaphobe?
I am not surprised. I'm actually happy to hear somebody that played against him on multiple occasions and probably gave him dap or tapped him on the backside and or vice versa. But here's the thing that I want to talk more about. Patrick Ewing, an all-time great player, he sweat a lot.
Yes, he
did. So for him to be a germaphobe,
yes, he did.
He must have kept... Oh, man.
Everybody,
he must have had on a diaper out there.
It's for real. He sweats so much that every single player, whether they were in the game or not, went home with a little Patrick Ewing sweat on them. So he's so concerned about getting other people's stuff on him. It's like, Patrick, this is disgusting. Like, they had special towel people just for him to come out to wipe under his chin after he took a free throw. God, he is gross. Let's move on. There is a Japanese phenom baseball player that's not interested in playing for the Yankees or the Red Sox. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving.
We be moving, you know we keep it moving.
He can hit, though, and he can pitch, which is crazy.
Next, this possession by the Suns might be some of the worst defense as a team you have ever seen. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving. I'll show you some footage of some of the worst defense a team has played. And I was out there.
That wouldn't happen to do with the famous performance from a legendary athlete, would it?
Absolutely. Jalen versus everybody.
The Silver Dome refused to go down. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
You couldn't even decide. The Pontiac Silver Dome was supposed to be imploded. The upper level, we've all seen this done right. Everything falls down. It looks really cool. Big cloud of dust. Well, they exploded some stuff, and it looked like it went pretty well, except the building refused to go down. The construction company is saying there was some faulty wiring. Might be some faulty explosives. Jalen, is this good news or bad news that the Silver Dome won't go down?
It's bad news that the Silver Dome didn't go down with the initial thrust. But I'm pretty sure they'll get it to the ground. So many legendary moments watching the Detroit Pistons play there when Isaiah Thomas first got drafted.
After a busy weekend of college football, we had some coaching news. Gus Malzahn has agreed to a new multi-year deal to remain the head coach at Auburn. And Jimbo Fisher has agreed to a 10-year, $75 million deal to become the head coach at Texas A&M. Jalen, this is a record in terms of dollar size, and it is also reportedly fully guaranteed. How do you think this will affect college football?
I came through the door. I said it before. Mark my words. The way we view collegiate sports, in particular, football and basketball, after this weekend will never, ever be the same again. You remember around 2008 when our country hit a financial bubble and then it eventually burst?
Yep.
We're trying to recover still from that to the point where corporations needed to be bailed out. Anytime you have one collegiate football coach making $70 million guaranteed to stand on the sideline and be the CEO of a program, which he is, again, you don't get what you deserve, only what you have the leverage to negotiate. And on the other side, you have approximately $60 million owed to coaches to not coach football as buyouts. Oh, man. Imagine being Nick Saban and you see Jimbo Fisher get a 10-year guaranteed deal for $70 million. You take a Stan Van Gundy Pepsi swig. You're like, seriously? I work double right off top. I'm walking in with his contract in my hand. And so that domino effect is going to turn the sport so far upside down that now the players are going to need to be in on some of this money. There's no way that this can continue without the players being compensated other than just their room and board and scholarships. And if they need to take a stand and or do a protest and or do a strike to make this necessary, it's got to happen. And lastly, I remember being on Wax saying all collegiate athletes should get paid some level of stipend. Okay. And I truly believe that. And I know there are a lot of colleges that are losing money. But in the real world, different careers make different amounts of money. And you know what else on the college campus? Different people come from different fiscal backgrounds in their family dynamic. So now I'm saying, yes, the sports that are revenue generating, those players should actually see more of the funds. This should take place. It will be taking place. And we've seen the level of collegiate sports be turned upside down based on the deals you just acknowledged taking place this past weekend.
It is fascinating. My wife, who's not a huge sports fan, certainly, but looks at the headlines, she said to me, she said, wait, I saw that a college coach just signed a $72 or $75 million contract. She was like, I have a question for you, David. Why does everybody want to be a professional athlete when they could be a professional coach, make just as much money, and then do it until you're old? And I honestly didn't even have an answer for her. I was like, that's probably the smartest thing that I've never thought of is instead of looking at my kids and saying, maybe one day you'll be an athlete, maybe one day you'll be a coach.
If you look at the dynamics in the mirror, you think about it. There are probably only a handful of African-American coaches. But they're 85% of players on the field. So what you're talking towards and what Joy was talking towards, a dynamic that's been turned inside out in basketball and in football at all levels of leadership, management, and definitely with ADs and ownership in professional sports.
Skipping forward, but staying with college football, the college football playoffs are set, and of course, everyone's all mad at it. The teams that are in, Clemson and Oklahoma, Georgia and Alabama, in my mind, are the four best teams in college football that should be in. However, I did notice, you know you're a Michigan Wolverine guy, know you're a Big Ten person. Some people are upset about the Ohio State Buckeyes after winning the Big Ten and beating Wisconsin are not involved. As a Michigan fan, would you rather see Ohio State in, making the Big Ten more strong, or is there some schadenfreude of keeping the Buckeyes out?
No. I know there are a lot of people arguing back and forth, just wasting their breath, getting their undies in a bunch. Just do some simple math. Ohio State lost two football games, one horrible loss early in the season by 30 points, and Alabama lost one football game. So clearly they deserve the fourth spot. I know the idea is for us to argue and banter about
sure.
it. And no, we don't need six teams. No, we don't need eight teams. Four teams gets it right when you have five
power
conferences.
We'll be back tomorrow.